On a Sunday afternoon, crowds cheer at a New York Giants football game. In a moment, no one would care who won or lost.
We interrupt this broadcast and bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addresses Congress.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
The next day, Lieutenant Don Smith writes his parents in Belfouche that his plans have changed.
It looks like any chance of being home Christmas is all shot to pieces. I'm staying in the same outfit, and we are pretty well prepared as far as training and planes go.
Don volunteered for the Army Air Corps, and for the last year, this former football standout at Belfouche High School and South Dakota State had been learning to fly bomber planes. But along with many others, Don hoped the United States could somehow avoid becoming part of the war igniting Europe.
Put away the guns! Put the bombs on the shelf! Stop this war! The cats are killing themselves!
I'm still a little afraid we will get into the mess. But what are we supposed to do about it? Ruin our lives just because the rest of the world can't get along with itself?
The attack on Pearl Harbor destroyed that hope for peace. At the White House, President Roosevelt gathered his top military advisors to come up with a way to strike back at Japan. Legendary pilot Jimmy Doolittle agreed to lead the attack, and Don Smith was one of 140 men who volunteered for what they were told was a dangerous mission overseas. The men began training immediately.
I thought I knew how to handle a plane pretty well, but after we get through with this training, I wonder how I ever got around in one. I must close for now, as I am so tired I can hardly think.
Sending bombers to Japan from U.S. air bases was not an option. They were too far. So the top-secret plan was for B-25 planes to drop bombs on the island by taking off from an aircraft carrier in the Pacific. Planes that size had never attempted this before. Spearfish writer Paul Higbee has researched Don Smith's story extensively.
It took incredible skill, and they had no time to even practice that. They just, one of the things they didn't know that day was, would all the planes get up in the air?
At sea in the Pacific, 3 days before the attack, Don Smith writes home.
When we left, we were supposed to be back in 2 months, but I'm afraid now we will be a little longer. I wrote Marie a note also, and just wanted to let you know everything was all right here. Having a lot of new experiences to tell about when I get back. We'll close for now, and until you hear from me again, don't worry about me. Your loving son, Don.
It's really a powerful letter when you realize he's assuring them that everything's going to be okay, and yet he knows this might be the last time he ever writes to them.
On April 18, 1942, under terrible conditions, Don Smith's B-25 took off from the USS Hornet. His was the 15th of 16 planes bound for Japan, a dangerous mission to begin with.
It became almost suicidal when they had to take off further out in the Pacific than they thought they were going to because they'd been spotted by a Japanese ship.
Now the planes would not have enough fuel to make it to a base in China as originally planned. They would have to crash land off the coast.
Good evening, everyone. The news all Japan has been waiting to hear is finally in. Who bombed Tokyo on April 18th? Now it can be told. They were American Army bombers. It came in broad daylight. It came out of nowhere. Every plane flying low.
Remarkably, only three men died in action that day, though four others died later at the hands of the Japanese. All of Don's crew survived. After crash landing in the sea and making his way halfway around the world, Don Smith came home a national hero, part of the Doolittle Raid.
It was really the first big glimmer of hope that maybe the United States was going to prevail in the Pacific.
But the war was far from over, and after only a couple months home, during which Don and his wife Marie welcomed a baby girl, Don was called overseas again. Stationed in England in the fall of 1942, his thoughts are of home and family and his beloved Cocker Spaniel, Muggs.
Wish we could all be together for Thanksgiving, but guess we'll have to wait until next year after we have settled everything with Adolf and company. Not much more news. We'll close for now. When you write, let me know how everything is at home. Hope you are all well. Slide Muggs across the dining room floor once for me. As ever, your loving son, Don.
Then in November, Don's parents received word that their son had died in an accidental plane crash. Shortly after, they received a letter from South Dakota Congressman Francis Case.
And he said, "In this office, when the word came, it was received as no similar news since the war began."
The letter continues, "Although none of us had ever met Don, somehow each of us thought he belonged to all of us." That fall of 42, a song longing for a return to times of peace topped the charts. It was a sentiment Don and his family surely felt. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Julia Menzensky. Tomorrow, just you.